First case for argument is Ana Paola Salazar Arroyo de Rugal and Zuri Samira Rugal Salazar versus Garland. Counsel?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Shannon Martinez. I am counsel for petitioner. I would please like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Please watch the clock.
The clock is not counting down, Your Honors. Okay. The two issues before this court are whether petitioner filed a frivolous asylum application and whether she was a credible witness. If I may, I would like to address the frivolous finding first.
Okay.
8 CFR 1208.20 says that an asylum application is frivolous if any of its material elements is deliberately fabricated. Here, the alleged fabrication is not material, nor is there any evidence that the alleged fabrication was deliberate. The alleged fabrication was the report that was filed, and it was filed by an agency called the Ministerio Público, and that can be found on AR 212 to 214. In Udo versus Garland, the court explained that a material element is a constituent part of a claim that must be proved for the claim to succeed. While a report to the authorities can be considered where the persecutor is not a state actor, the court in Razmide versus Holder explained that reporting of private persecution is not an essential element to establish a claim. Therefore, the report in question is not material.
Is it your view that if somebody fabricates a document that merely corroborates what they're saying, if somebody fabricates evidence that is merely corroborative of other evidence that they're presenting, is that not a material element of the claim?
Correct, Your Honor. And the Ninth Circuit case specifically explained that a report would not be a material element, that this particular piece of evidence would not be a material element.
So as long as you have, does that mean that as long as somebody has some other evidence that they've put in, fabrication of anything else is not going to be a basis for a finding of frivolousness? It seems like an odd rule that as long as you have one other thing to support your claim, you can make up other stuff, and that wouldn't support a finding of frivolousness.
According to the case law, Your Honor, it might depend on the type of evidence submitted, but as this was a report, it specifically says in this case that it would not be material.
Was there any dispute that arose below about the fact that your client's husband was murdered?
No, Your Honor.
What evidence is there that that supports that was in the record that doesn't implicate the sort of credibility issues that we've been discussing, such that perhaps their materiality is less significant?
The basic facts of the response of the petitioner's claim, Your Honor, were consistent in her declaration and in her testimony and in the corroborating evidence. The basic facts that her husband was killed, that she was, her place of employment was involved when her husband was killed, that there were gang members that killed her husband, that she knew the identities of the gang members.
She was present when he was killed.
Correct.
So the police report says she reports that she was threatened by these other gang members. And she has made that claim in several different ways, both her testimony, her declaration, what she says her friend Jennifer Ortiz said. It seemed like the IJ and the BIA were relying on the police report mainly to as a way of undermining her credibility. In other words, they said, you said you didn't report to the police, but here we have a copy of the police report. Was there a claim that the police report was fabricated? Because when I was looking at the testimony, it just seemed as an inconsistency that the IJ was pointing out.
The IJ in his decision did indicate that based on circumstantial evidence, he was concluding that the police report was fabricated, based on the inconsistencies and the fact that she couldn't resolve the inconsistencies. But I will respectfully, Your Honor, I will point out that I think that part of the confusion was that I don't think respondent in her mind considered this to be a police report. There were approximately 10 instances in the transcript where the questioning was specifically regarding a police report, and respondent denied that she had filed her police report. And then when I later, when she was later asked in testimony whether she considers that agency a police agency, she said no. So I think that that might have been part of the confusion.
Can I just ask a question? So in my mind, the phrase police report is not always clear. You can go to a police station and make a police report. You can also be interviewed by police officers, even a brief interview, and the police make a police report. So I have just sort of an inherent problem understanding the context of police reports. Sometimes it matters, sometimes it's ambiguous. Could you comment on that?
I think that ambiguity entered into this case as well, because the respondent did testify that at the scene of the crime, authorities did come. And when she was asked to specify whether those authorities were the police, she indicated that they were and that they did write down what she said. So I do think that there was confusion. The adding to the confusion was that this particular report was dated after the date of the incident. So I think that's... Your Honors, I see my time is down to 2 minutes.
Okay, do you want to save that for rebuttal?
If I may, Your Honor, if you have no further questions.
All right, we'll hear from the government.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Jocelyn Wright. I'm here on behalf of respondent, the United States Attorney General. Let me first address Judge Ikuta's comment about whether or not there was an issue that this was a fabrication. The immigration judge specifically determined that this was a fabricated document based on petitioner's testimony and admission on cross-examination.
Was it helping her case? I mean, it seems like the IJ and the BIA were relying on it to say it's an inconsistency. I mean, in other words, it was hurting her credibility as opposed to a fabrication that assisted her in making her case. That's what was confusing to me.
Well, the immigration judge, again, could only consider the fact of submission because Exhibit 9 was not admitted into evidence because she turned it in late. She submitted it to the court late and he didn't admit it into the record. So the immigration judge properly determined that her submission, the fact of petitioner's submission of a fabricated document, and he determined that it was fabricated because upon questioning by her own counsel, petitioner admitted that she had no idea where this document came from. But she couldn't explain.
How did it support How was it significant to a material element of her case? I mean, it was. It seems like it was used to say she's not credible, as opposed to the phony marriage certificate or the types of documents we normally see that are submitted, that are fabricated, that are key or crucial to the asylum application. I was having trouble understanding how this report, which undermined her story, because her story was she had not made a report, was crucial, was a fraudulent document crucial to her asylum application. So help me understand that.
Well, the immigration judge explained that her submission of this document went to all aspects of her claim, and the material elements that she needed to establish was past harm rising to the level of persecution, a well-founded fear of future harm rising to the level of persecution on account of a protected ground by either the government or entities that the government is unwilling or unable to control. And she had no other corroborating evidence to establish that the root of her claims of persecution, the robbery itself, actually happened. There's no evidence that she submitted to corroborate that she and her husband were attacked. And so looking at this document, the fact that she allegedly made a verbal complaint, an official complaint regarding the robbery of this amount of money from her. Her husband isn't mentioned in this document. And again, that underscores the government's point that the immigration judge didn't, and the board didn't, rely on the contents of this, but just on the fact of the submission.
That's not quite true that she didn't submit any other evidence. She submitted a declaration from one of her former coworkers page 327 it's fairly terse, but it is a declaration from somebody else saying that she was attacked and she and her husband were attacked and robbed, and then she started getting threats after that, right? So there's also that, isn't there?
Well, there's Jennifer's letter, which was very vague, and she just said that I declared that she gave a police statement. Oh, stole from her a great amount of money and her personal documents. That was Jennifer's. I'm sorry, that was Norma's letter. But Jennifer's letter doesn't say anything about her being attacked.
Okay, but I mean, the point is that, and then this, I think, goes to the point Judge Ikuda was making, that the police or you know, whatever government report it was not the only piece of evidence supporting the proposition that she was attacked and thereafter received threats.
Well, even if that is the case, Your Honor, and I believe that Jennifer's letter is very vague on that, and there wasn't really, she was the co-worker, the other one was her friend, but it doesn't really mention any connection between her employment and the attack. All they said was she was subject to extortions.
When you say it doesn't mention it, are you saying that she wrote it or that some officer or official put it down in a particular way? Because I was trying to make the point that the phrase police report, and when you're dealing with the bureaucracy of how information gets communicated, it's not always clear cut.
Okay. In the context of the previous discussion, I was discussing the letters from Jennifer and Norma at pages 324 and 327 of the AR with respect to this verbal complaint to the public prosecutor, the public ministry. It says that it was a verbal complaint that she was making to someone. And so I'm not sure who authored this. She couldn't explain it. It's not clear on the record who authored the complaint, because she says she never made a complaint, and she says that she never spoke to anyone at the public ministry.
So does that mean that it didn't percolate up through the police department and go to the Ministerio Público?
She has never alleged that. She
all these leaps about how documents get created and who's responsible for them. And we're assuming that she took an active role necessarily in that process. And I'm just asking you, is that perfectly clear that that's what happened?
I don't think the government or the agency in this case is making any leaps in logic, Your Honor. That is the problem in this case. The immigration judge asked her, where did this document come from? And she couldn't explain. He asked her, her own attorney asked her, did you ever speak with anyone at the public ministry? And she said, no. And so the question of where this document came from, which she submitted, which she gave to her attorney for submission to the immigration court in support of her claims, the burden is on her to authenticate and explain where this came from. And so the immigration judge, given that she couldn't do that, reasonably determined that this was a fabricated document because it contradicted everything that she had testified to during her hearing. And she couldn't explain where it came from, but didn't deny that she did give it to her attorney in support of her claim.
Could you address our decision in CODCA, where we said, fabrication of material evidence doesn't necessarily constitute fabrication of a material element? And I confess I'm not totally sure what we meant by the distinction there between evidence and an element, but what's your view of that, and why does this, why shouldn't we view this merely as evidence?
I think in this case, the immigration judge explained why he determined that this was that the submission of this document went to the was a fabrication of a material element, because the document goes to the establishment of all aspects of her claim: past persecution because of the robbery, and the threats, future persecution, the continuing threats to her, and also whether or not the government is unwilling or unable to control the alleged assailants who she claims are the source of her persecution.
Is it that it's the only evidence on those points, or is it? I mean, if you fabricate a document that supports some other evidence that you have on a point, is that enough to constitute a finding of frivolousness? You have some evidence that says something bad happened to you, and then you fabricate another document that supports that. Is that enough?
It could be. I think it's, the case law is clear that a determination of frivolousness is a case-by-case determination because it's very fact-intensive. And in this case, there was no other evidence, as the immigration judge said, and it's undisputed in this case, that the rest of her evidence, the two letters from Yennefer and from Norma, were very vague.
Well, her
testimony
were not sufficient. Was evidence. Her declarations and testimony were evidence, which we would take the agency would take as true if she were found credible. So there was her testimony. I mean, the thing that just puzzles me is that she testified as to the elements of her claim, denied she had made a report to the police, and the police report was used only to say she was not credible. So it's very hard for me to see how that is supporting her claim when, in fact, it's undermining her claim. Can you address that? Is there another case that's similar to that?
I couldn't find one, Your Honor, and I will keep looking, of course. But I think the immigration judge was concerned that she was, and perhaps counsel's explanation, she was confused in her head about, or she had a distinction in her head about what a police report meant to her, which was going to the police rather than actively going to the police to make a report, rather than the police just taking down a report. And so it's just not clear. But again, because she was the one who submitted the evidence gave it to her attorney for submission into the record, even though it wasn't admitted, the immigration judge reasonably looked to the fact of the submission of the evidence to determine her intent. Was her intent in this case, given that her testimony and her evidence was found to be not credible, just to the submission of a fraudulent document to corroborate a claim that has found to be not credible, the immigration judge reasonably determined was a preponderance of the evidence that she was filed a frivolous asylum claim.
I have one last question. Was there any evidence that the document was fraudulent other than that it was inconsistent with her testimony?
Not forensically fraudulent, but her admission that she did not know where it came from.
Okay.
Even though she submitted it.
Thank
that
you.
Admission is sufficient, I think.
Okay, I think.
Unless the court has any further questions, for the reasons in our brief and today, we ask that the petition be denied. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a 2 minutes for rebuttal. You're mute.
Thank you, Your Honors. The petitioner respectfully requests that this case is remanded for further fact-finding. I think there's a lot of confusion surrounding how this report was made. And on page 173 of the record, the immigration judge was limiting the testimony that he was allowing regarding this report. And since it's such a crucial aspect of this resolution, a frivolous finding is very serious, and it is a petitioner's view that it would be helpful if this case were remanded so that she could possibly look at the report. And we're trying to determine where the confusion lies, and possibly she made a report, she didn't realize the name of the agency, even though she knows it distinguishes between the Ministerio Público and the police. Maybe she, you know, I think it would be appropriate to flesh this out further to see what if the petitioner would be able to offer any clarity to this confusion, being that it is such a serious finding against her. And on that, Your Honor, I have nothing further.
All right. The case of Salazar Arroyo de Rugol versus Garland is submitted. The next